Hello, folks. We recorded this one together, and as such, the audio quality is a little bit poopy stinko, sharing a condenser mic between two people. Sorry about that, but I hope you enjoy it, everybody.
Hey, guess what? We're recording now.
Oh, shit.
Let me take this down a little bit because we're peeking.
Oh, I'm peeking. You're peeking, too.
Oh, I'm peeking at them. Right out. I'm peeking at them titties.
Ta-tas. In this case, it is not an aesthetic choice. This is fight for survival.
It's hot in this apartment. It's hot in here.
Yeah, we're both furnaces. Like, just living furnaces that churn heat.
It is tough to sleep, especially since I only have a queen mattress. That's what I sleep on. I'm revealing to the world that I don't have a bed frame because I'm super fucking cool.
Well, we'd have busted it anyway.
Yeah, we would have. Yeah. It's That Transfer, Season 2, Episode 21. I'm Audrey.
I'm Carla.
And the fucking heat in my apartment just runs. Like, you can't turn it off.
Like diarrhea.
It runs like diarrhea, like shit from an asshole. And it is so fucking hot in this room because it got to be like 70 degrees today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only March 12th. God, we're halfway through the month. That's crazy. And since it's a boiler for heat, it doesn't turn off.
Right.
So they have to turn the boiler off, but you don't want to do that yet because it's only March 12th and it might get fucking cold again.
Yeah, but it's hot.
It's hot. They really should, you know, if they had any kind of, like, maintenance schedule, they would come around and turn the fucking boiler off on hot days.
It's been bad enough. I have been contemplating some Gorilla plumbing efforts.
Just go down there and turn the boiler off.
That's just funny. Fucking clamp the pipe leading up here.
Yeah, that would fucking... Well, then we wouldn't have hot water.
Oh, good point. Fuck.
Yeah.
Wait, the boiler's in charge of hot water, too?
I think so.
What the fuck do you do in the summer?
No, I'm wrong. You're right. They asked me about the hot water when they were working on the boiler.
I mean, that probably means they're like... side by side, piping wise.
Could be.
That it's easy for one to fuck with the other.
Yeah. My beloved is here.
I'm here. I'm in Audrey's house.
In the room with me.
It's a very nice time. It's been so good. I got to meet my metamor and she fucking rips. Yeah. We've gotten to eat a ton of food.
Mm-hmm.
We fucked.
a number of times.
Several times. Several.
Several times.
Mm-hmm.
She hugged my arm.
I get to hold on to her while we record.
It's so good.
Editing Coral's gonna listen to this and fucking cry.
Oh, poor baby.
I feel bad for her, but, I get to enjoy this for now. I have to not be the pizza skit. The Amanda Show fucking pizza skit right now.
I love that, like, long-time listeners of the show know what the hell you're talking about.
Oh, man. Are you done with your soda?
No.
Okay.
You want sippy?
Oh, yes. It's still very hot in here, and this is about the only thing we have to cool ourselves off.
That's true.
Overnight, I was just drinking industrial amounts of tea out of that jug. I don't know if you see that. It's just like, oh, cool me down with that. Opening the door a crack, but I didn't want to open it at all the way because I was naked as fuck and want my balls hanging out your fucking doorway.
To my neighborhood. What we could do, and what we might do tonight, if you would like, is we can set the fan up so that it sits in the computer chair and shoots down at us, and we can put an ice cube tray in front of it.
Okay, neat. And swamp cooler, basically.
That's my knob.
So, I have a question.
What's up?
How are you?
I'm not bad. This has been an excellent little trip. I'm going to buzz market some restaurants in my neighborhood. We went to Gordo's for burgers. We went to Cancun for Mexican food. I made...
And margarita.
And a big pitcher of margarita. It was fucking awesome. And I think the best meal we had, because we always talk about food. Every time we go on a podcast after we hang out, we always talk about the food we ate on the trip. Because we're very food motivated.
We're very food motivated. We're like dogs.
We're like doglers. And I made strip steaks with mashed potatoes and asparagus for you and the Metamore.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a delight.
I believe we refer to that as a mid-air refueling.
Yes. Or fuck steak, I think you called fuck it on our FTV this week.
Very good. It's just a very heavy meal considering the context, but also exactly what I needed.
Because we pulled it off, though.
I'm a little piggy pig.
But if you think about it, steak, that's just protein. That's not going to fuck up your tummy. It's just protein.
Mm-hmm.
It might make you a little logy, but it also makes you, sleepy and, you know, swimmy dreamy while you're banging.
Mm-hmm. It is funny. We were all girls of some size.
Yeah.
And yet none of us are leaning into that at all. There's no,
no feederism involved.
Which, unfortunate, I think. Missed opportunity. Just because, it's right there.
It's right there. All these tubby bitches.
Tubby bitches. Getting it on until 6 in the morning.
I wish it was till 6 in the morning.
Because mama ain't home. I forget the rest of the lyrics.
Yeah.
I'm too high to remember gin and juice right now.
Yeah. I'm pretty high right now. I've been enjoying some Kratom.
Yeah. I gotta go finish my cup, actually.
Yeah.
In fact, when I go get another drink, I'll do exactly that.
Cool. We'll do a little mid-episode refuel on that.
I'll rip your Beyblade on a topic and get a comeback.
I'll just be yelling it to the other room.
I mean, I could also just clap.
No, I think it's funnier that way.
Okay, fair enough. Fuck yeah. lean into it. It's a local space. We play with the fact that we're in a physical space. We play with the space with me. Griffin McElroyism.
Griffin McElroy.
How am I doing?
Yeah, how you doing, babe?
I'm doing fucking amazing. I've had a consistent underlying level of chronic pain. Might as well acknowledge that disability.
Sure.
And despite that, I've been having such a fucking blast revitalizing things that I desperately needed, put back in me.
Mm.
Stocking up on my reserves of top energy, for one thing. Holy shit, I was on an all-time low for a very long time there. And now I'm gonna come back home like a fucking wound-up rocket.
Like
right?
A fucknado.
Yeah. Flubber.
Much like Flubber.
Like Flubber. You put the Flubber on your shoes and you go boing into someone's vagina.
Into someone's gaping butthole or vagina, yes.
Or mouth.
Or mouth.
Between their tatas.
That's true.
Or in their belly button.
In their belly button.
Adventures.
Between their thighs, maybe an armpit.
Hot dogging.
Hot dogging. Butt cheeks.
Yeah. Is hair fucking a thing? It's gotta be a thing for somebody.
It could be somebody's
grabbing. I feel like that just makes it
bad texture.
For me, with such a texture-oriented brain, I can only imagine that.
Yeah, there's
terrible.
No way. There's no
unless
way
you're
for
using
me.
Really greasy hair that lubes it up.
No.
Yeah. No, and then it's just bad for other reasons.
it gets all itchy.
Oh. But I'm doing fantastic. The one thing I got going on is a little bit of homesickness. Mm-hmm. I miss my partners back home. I keep trying to call them. Because, once a day, I'm just coming, just going back. Lonely Island, I just had sex.
Yeah.
Where it's and I called my parents right after I was done. That was me with Frisk. I'm like, hey.
Hey,
guess what?
Hey, guess what?
Just leave a little voice message, fucking, hey, I did a fuck, and it was cool. I just thought you should know.
It's pretty
I guess
great.
That makes my partners my parents now, which, that's not unknown to, like, queer polycules. You know, someone's mommy.
Someone's mommy.
Someone's daddy. Someone's baby.
It's you. You are baby.
You're baby also. Don't fucking deny it. You're baby. If I use the right words, you collapse into fucking little space, and it's adorable.
I don't want to think about it.
She doesn't want to interrogate, especially not live on recording. Data transfer is recorded in front of a live audience.
Tonight it is.
It really is, yeah. The audience beating my the naked other... penis.
Your naked cock.
You little sausage.
You little sausage. We've also been playing Salt and Sanctuary quite a bit.
Yes, let's get our fucking video game update. We played Salt and Sanctuary quite a lot.
Yeah, we played it in the run-up, like, on Steam Remote Play, but we've been playing in person now.
Yeah, I'd say we covered the first quarter of the game before we got here, and then over the course of 2 days have just fucking tunneled through another quarter, maybe third of the game.
I think we're in the last third.
Yeah, we're getting...
This game gets really fucking crazy hard, where you're, like, throwing yourself at bosses over and over again, and it really is one of the better 2D Dark Souls games out there. I think it's really, really good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been such a fucking delight. I also got Audrey to pick up another game, try it out with me for a little
Guacamelee!
Bit. Guacamelee! Guacamelee! You want to describe this, babe?
It's cute. It's a luchador Metroidvania beat-em-up game. So you've got, like, your Streets of Rage techniques and shit, and you're, like, doing your combos, and you're grappling dudes, and you're throwing them around into each other. And then there's this neat mechanic where there's two worlds. There's, like, the future world that was destroyed. And the current world that could be saved, and you can transfer between the two of them, and there are, like, walls that only exist in one of those worlds, and enemies that exist in only one of those worlds.
No, it's the land of the dead.
Oh, my B.
You goof.
I didn't understand.
I confused you at the start, because I was, like, playing dumb. I'm like, wow, he really fucked the place up while you were dead.
Well, it turns out I was just dead.
Turns out you were just dead, yeah. It's the land of the... It's the... I don't know what land is in Spanish. Mundo de la Muerta?
That'd be like World of the Dead.
Yeah, World of the Dead.
Yeah.
You're entering into that plane.
And I've been told, so it has like a whole lot of like Central American and like specifically Mexican theming with like luchadors and shit.
Yep.
And it's my understanding that it's like primarily a Mexican team that developed it.
Yep.
I think that's super cool. Like, it's really cool to experience you know, some small slice of a culture as presented by nerds from that culture.
Right. Kind of needs to be, because it is all about it. It is just, it's set in Mexico. It is about Mexican shit. Well, actually, it's about video games, but it's about how Mexican nerds have interfaced with video games in their life.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It rocks. It rocks. It's a really fun little game.
Yeah. The combat... flows into the platforming, or I should say the tools for both are the same tools.
Yes.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah, because what is my point I made when you brought that up is like, because what does a luchador do? They do special moves.
Right.
Like, you know, you wouldn't get like a grappling hook because that's not what a fucking luchador does.
Right. No, but a wall jump, you're going off the top fucking rope.
Yeah,
that is a
coming off the top
move.
Turnbuckle. That's, absolutely.
Yeah. They do the fucking Spider-Man jumpy jumps. Spider-Man? Wrestler. Canonically.
Canonically, yeah. He fought Bonesaw.
He fought Bonesaw. I've got you for 20 minutes.
I've got you for 60 minutes. Talking to you, listener.
I've also been playing a lot of Quud whenever Quud. I get the chance.
Quud.
We've talked extensively about Quud, but I enjoy Quud. It. I enjoy... my fucking slug monster that shoots pressurized acid that I got by drinking something called Cloaca Surprise.
Jesus.
Which I only got because I befriended a fucking bonus boss at the end of a terrible, hateful dungeon that sucks.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I went out of my way to become a fucked up slug creature because I was like, I want to know. I want to know what it's like to be a slippery thing. Honestly, Quud is very gender in the sense that, like, you can just become other shit if you try hard enough.
That's gender.
Yeah. You just... I am a living wall. I am a tree. You know, it's like everything in that sense. The philosophy and absurdism, or absurdist comedy, like, universal simulation game, I suppose is the best way to put that.
It's neat.
Alan Watts, that's what I was trying to think of.
Oh, sure.
Got his stuff all over it.
Yeah. Want to talk about Digimon?
Yeah! Oh, God, yeah, I do. Holy shit. Yeah,
this
shit.
Episode fucking rocks.
I don't know why I got so distracted. I want to talk about this one so bad.
I definitely pulled up the wiki already, but then from there pulled up the Kenner Aliens action figure guide. So I have to, like, go back a bunch to get to the part where I actually have the damn Digimon Fandom Wiki. Here we go. I got it up. And Corla's a little bit out of the room right now, but she'll be back momentarily.
And Envy's.
Hell yeah.
Gender fluid folks. Plural folks.
Sure.
I get my dick in all sorts of cool of people.
Hell yeah. This episode is entitled The Crest of Kindness or The Japanese That We Saw. Goodbye, Ken! Like, fuck! We saw that and we were just like, oh shit!
Was it Goodbye, Ken? I thought it was Goodbye, Wormmon.
I think in the dub, like, so in the wiki says Goodbye, Ken, or Sayonara, Ken-chan.
Wow. Oh, no, yes, that's right. Sayonara, Ken-chan, and the only person who's referred to him as that is Wormmon, so... Right, okay, no, I get you.
But I think the dub we watched, or, like, the sub we watched had Goodbye, Wormmon as the title, now that I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
There's been a couple times that there's been a discrepancy between the subtitles we watched and...
Because it's the audio overlaid on the English version, right? Because the default, when we play it, is English.
No, the default on this particular file is Russian.
Oh. I guess the Russian goes with the English title. I don't know. Either that or they manually edit that in from the English version.
We'll see.
It's fucking whatever. This is such a rant. Continue.
Drawn by Magnemon's power, Chimeramon return. What do you... This is so much worse than you, like, making faces and shit. That was unbelievable. I'm in the middle of reading a sentence, and you start flicking my nipple in front of the phone screen I'm trying to read from. Oh my god.
I'm gonna piss myself.
Ken is almost hit by one of Chimeramon's attacks. Ken commands Chimeramon to watch where he's aiming, but Chimeramon laughs and tries to attack him again. I didn't think like that's what happened in the subs we watched.
I guess the dub, like, makes... Oh, God. They give him a voice, don't they?
Yeah.
So much of the appeal is that this...
Or, it's like, just, a brainless...
The thematic, like heft of this creature is in its feral nature, is in its uncontrollable, fucking, unthinking, destructive rage. It's a force of nature that Ken thinks he has a yoke around, and he doesn't.
The only time that Chimeramon has a voice in the version we watched is when the evil force that has been plaguing Ken for the last few episodes, like, kind of laughs through Chimeramon.
Right, that's right, because at the end of the last one, he's like, thanks for the new body, dipshit.
Yeah, you dumb asshole. Wormmon warns Ken that Chimeramon will turn on him, but Ken ignores him. The Digidestined confront Ken and try to convince him that the digital world isn't some game, but he doesn't listen.
Yeah, something gave him the impression that this thing, like, the entire digital world is running on his computer.
Yeah.
We'll get to that,
towards the end here.
But yeah, this shit goes nuts.
The battle between Magnemon and Chimeramon intensifies, causing the base to start to crash. Magnemon is landing some really good blows on Chimeramon, like swinging hard and causing shockwaves and shit, and this is the first time we've seen Chimeramon take anything resembling damage.
And yeah, he's gone from no-selling to fuck me, that, like, that reoriented my bottom jaw.
Yeah, two words. Owie.
Like, his head gets, or his elbow gets punched through a wall.
Yeah.
Like a thick, reinforced wall.
Just smashes him into the wall and he...
Yeah. I love that Veemon's general approach whenever he digivolves is to just beat the shit out of something.
Yeah, just pound it into the ground.
It's very endearing to have someone that straightforward and
pound it
like
into
this.
The ground and then blast it with some kind of finishing move.
Yep. Very effective.
Pretty good.
Good combo.
Pretty good strategy. The Digidestined can evacuate just before the impact... Wow, this is skipping right ahead. Outside, Magnemon's power reserves run dry, allowing Chimerimon to grab him.
Yeah, do we want to run that back a little bit?
Yeah. There's, like, a big confrontation in a hallway where all the kids are like, hey, man, give it up. Like, we've got you. Like, this is over. And he's like, nah, dog, Chimerimon. I've still got Chimerimon. He's my ace in the hole. Like, you're totally fucked.
Right. He insists to the very last second that, like, Chimerimon is his Digimon.
Yeah.
He made it for himself. He... I love how fucking derivative it is. It is literally DeviantArt OC shit.
And he's got Devimon and Quagamon and Skullgreymon arms. And he's got Chimerimon's head. Or he's got Kabuterimon's head. And
Greymon's chest.
Chest and legs.
And face.
And, no, and Garurumon legs.
Garurumon's legs, actually. And he's got wings from every cool Digimon that I like.
He's all of them.
Yeah.
I think he's...
Nothing new to it. Just a composite.
Kind of making fun of, like, you know, the kids who do that shit.
Yeah. Like, he is epitomizing the radical extreme of a type of person. Right?
Yeah.
That type of person being... A six-year-old playing fantasy.
Yeah.
Right? That honestly puts him very well in perspective here. I'll get into it later, but, like, yeah, he's playing fantasy in what he thinks is a video game.
Right. And during this confrontation, Kari breaks it wide open and kind of makes explicit something we had been talking about, that Ken would have been one of the Digidestined.
Yeah.
That Ken would have been...
He is a chosen
yeah,
one.
Yeah,
he
is
says.
A chosen one. And Wormmon is his partner.
There's a reason he found that egg. There's a reason he found that crest.
Yeah.
The kid has the potential and the light inside of him to be just like any of the kids from season one.
But, you know, he's got to be better than everybody. There's nobody as good as him.
Right.
To him. Let's cut back to outside. As Chimerimon begins to crush Magnemon, Wormmon shouts words of encouragement to the golden-armored Digimon, and angered, Ken whips him.
Yeah, this time given, like, a visible lash.
Yeah.
Like, they lean in on this last one.
Wormmon sorrowfully tells him that he has finally become worse than the monster he created. That's kind of a cool line from the English dub.
Yeah.
We didn't really get that.
In Japanese, he insists there was a good Ken once, yeah. And he's gone right now.
Yeah. The good, normal Ken, who is kind, he kept saying.
He implores him to think about something that we didn't know about so far. They had an entire adventure in the digital world
yeah.
before all this. They've been here. They were doing the season one thing before these kids ever came around. And this is his new game plus
yeah.
to him.
Woof.
Yeah, this is his, I'll do an evil run this time.
Yeah. He tells Ken that despite everything he had done to him and his fellow Digimon, he stuck with him because they were partners. And as Wormmon keeps talking, both he and Magnemon start to glow. They get this, like, shimmery glow over Wormmon.
Yeah.
With that, he
just
knocks...
Just like Angemon after he punches Devimon, if you
yeah.
remember.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then, with that, he knocks Ken off the Devidramon they're riding and steers it towards Chimerimon, freeing Magnemon. So he knocks Ken off of the Devidramon and then, like, veers the Devidramon into Chimerimon, which knocks Magnemon free. In response, Chimerimon strikes Wormmon away, and Wormmon gives the last of his power to Magnemon, re-energizing him.
Yeah. That's the reason I brought up the comparison of that aura is it's almost like... Not almost. It is literally a visual shorthand for like a willing sacrifice for
yeah.
others.
Yeah, fucking Zero had it in Mega Man X when he sacrificed himself to power
what
up X.
What am I fighting for? wrong thing, sorry. That was 7, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
As Chimeramon charges, Magnamon uses, what was it, Extreme Jihad?
Extreme Jihad, and both of us went pog, pog.
We pogged so fucking hard. We were like, inshallah, he will be victorious.
God, I love you.
To eradicate him, and then he reverts back to Demi-V-mon.
Yep.
Ken, unable...
Chibi-mon.
Chibi-mon, of course. Apologies.
He's so
I'm reading the English
version. I love
version.
Chibi-mon. Chibi-mon
rocks. Ken, unable to believe he has lost, is convinced that the others cheated, and declares that he will reset the digital world and start over.
And they're like, fucking what, nerd?
Start over? This is like a world.
This is like a, what do you mean?
Yeah, this
what are you, Superman?
This a realm. You gonna fly around the Earth counterclockwise and run that beat back,
DJ?
He only did that for one day. You've been at this a long fucking time, my guy. The Digidestin are puzzled by what Ken means, and he says he'll go home and erase all the digital world data off his computer and create a new program that doesn't cheat. In the
bitch,
English
this
version.
Is always online, motherfucker. There's a server.
You gonna reset to server? I don't think so.
That server is God or some shit.
It's what was the it's some other shit. First of all, bitch, it's some other shit, and we don't know what its long-term effects are.
Thank you. I'm sorry I didn't have anything clever to follow that up with.
The Digidestin finally managed to convince him that the digital world isn't a video game, and that its inhabitants are living beings.
So, here's where I'm coming in with this.
Okay.
This fully puts into perspective what we've been seeing. This villain, this we've been given some, humanizing elements for Ken, or not humanizing, because you can't with what he's been doing with what he is in this show as an antagonist. But he is, like I said, on his new game plus. This man, when you and I played Baldur's Gate 3, we did it with the intention of doing a second playthrough, maybe even a third, together at some point. Meaning, we wanted to do shit we wouldn't default to in a second run when we're kind of glazing over some stuff and doing maybe some suboptimal builds because we're trying to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Or just playing on a harder difficulty and therefore having to optimize. The point is, we thought about the characters a lot of the time as NPCs. We thought about them the way you think about resources in a system. You think about numbers, right? And we took the evil ending for a lot of shit. We went back on Karlach at the very end, saved her at the expense of ourself, or at least of my character. There's like a bit where she pisses herself and then kills the entire party.
Yeah,
like the Undertale genocide ending.
It's fucked up.
But the point is, we doomed plenty of digital people who. Were we in Digimon, would have been thinking creatures that we were under a misconception about, same as Ken. He is... I'm gonna have to bleep this. He is a gamer. Ken is a fucking gamer. And he's been... Everything he's done makes sense in that context. Makes sense in the sense of Flowey from Undertale. He has just seen this before. He did the nice run, and now he's bored and wants to try the evil run.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'm not done with the experience, but I did everything on the nice run. You know, I 100%ed it. So, if I want more Digimon, if I want more of this world...
Gotta do it the other way.
You gotta do the other thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. How he could have interacted and adventured with the sweet boy Wormmon for as long as he did and not realize that these are, you know, valuable beings.
Right. That is the thing. He was a kind person, and when this realization gets to him, it fucking crushes him.
Yeah, he's broken.
So, we'll get into it, but there's more to it than just a shift in perspective. It was forced in a way.
Right.
But what he is, what the way he's been looking at the world for the duration of what we've seen of him is as a gamer.
Yeah. Capital G.
In fact, I think there's an interesting thing to say here about digital creations becoming, or like, forced to become content and servile to, like, destructive purposes.
Mm.
Ken could be, in a sense, Hasbro, you know? Ken, what I'm saying is Ken is doing Aether Drift every time he whips a Digimon. He's releasing Chandra doing the Akira slide.
Ken is releasing a new standard legal set every 67 days.
Well, so, at the very least, Ken made Terra Herald of Hope, so can you really say he's a bad guy? There's pros and cons.
Remembering that he saw their Digimon at the soccer game in the real world, the realization hits Ken like a ton of bricks, it says in the synopsis, and he tearfully discards his outfit, which disintegrates as each piece hits the ground. Kari finds the dying Wormmon, and Ken tearfully apologizes to him. As he does, the Crest of Kindness, which Daisuke found in the sand, flies over to him.
Yeah, and when Ken, like, crumples and screams, it's like, you remember Princess Bride, right?
Yeah.
It is the scream of Wesley being, like, tortured to death,
mm-hmm.
not to 40, that whole thing.
Yeah.
It's rough. It's a genuinely, like, oh, this... A human boy has peeked out under this fucking incel gamer-ass facade and is crushed by everything he's done in the single moment of realization.
Despite...
Very affecting for me. It hits close to home. I used to be shitty.
Despite Ken's pleas, Wormmon dies in his arms, and Ken starts crying because he lost Wormmon just like he lost his older brother. It is revealed in this moment. You see, as Wormmon passes from this world and disintegrates, you hear the sounds of a car accident and then a scene of a young boy lying on the fucking street while a young Ken Ichijoji looks on in horror.
So yeah, this gives you further context of why he needed to come back to the digital world, why he was pushed to the extremes of escapism. His fucking brother died, and he has not processed it since.
Yeah. He leaves sobbing, and says here, despite Daisuke's pleas that he should join the Digidestined, yet another dub change. But,
you should join us!
Join us!
What in the fuck is the dub doing?
I don't have a partner Digimon anymore. Shitface!
This man is a murderer, an unethical mad scientist just stitching Digimon together.
He's pretty fucking far gone, man. He's gonna have to do more than just cry in the desert to come back to the team.
This is very much the Digimon movie, like, oh, come on, what the fuck do they call him in the English dice game?
Davis.
Come on, Davis, stop crying. Okay. Admittedly, amazing moment out of context.
Good
in context,
timing.
Completely ruins any tension they were trying to build.
The Digidestined return to the real world, but not before we get a fun little scene of Izzy, Matt, and Ty. They're hanging out at the camp.
Getting their bluff called the fuck out.
Getting their bluff called the fuck out.
By the most determined, horny woman I've ever seen in my life.
Jun walks up to the campsite and goes, Yamato, what's going on? And he's like, oh, shit. They all have the best shocked expressions on their faces.
How
did she follow us all the way here? She, like, walked here. This is nuts. And Izzy has a great look on his face. And they have this great moment where... June is like, so, where are the other kids? And Matt goes, yeah, Ty, where are the other kids?
Yeah, they passed the buck.
And Izzy goes, Ty goes, yeah, Izzy, isn't that weird? Where are the other kids?
And Izzy goes, just like, I'm going to piss, and runs off with his laptop.
He goes, I'll go find them.
Right, yes. But yeah, he just panics and goes,
he's panics out. And he's like, I can't be here for this. And,
oh, there's a girl. I don't.
Oh,
I,
no thank you.
No thank you. I have my laptop out. Mm-mm, she cannot see the screen. For Digimon reasons, not porn reasons.
Right. He walks over into the bushes, and who should come out? He's like looking at his laptop screen going, oh fuck, where are the other kids? And then the portal opens and they dump out of his computer onto him. Perfect fortuitous timing. So the Digidestin return to the real world just in time to see that June has arrived at the camp. TK and Matt's dad insist that Matt take June home on the bus, to his horror. As they drive home, Ty and Izzy reflect on how the new Digidestin have lived up to their responsibilities in, like, a really cool moment.
Yeah.
They're talking. They're like, yeah, you know, the kids did all right. That's pretty cool.
It's really fucking cool to have the season one kids acknowledge, like, kids are all right.
Yeah.
We're comfy passing this torch because they got it.
They got this. It was a really fucked up situation they were in because they couldn't even full Digivolve on this arc. The fucking Dark Towers prevented them from actually digivolving their Digimon. They had to do this fucking half-assed armor shed.
That's something, actually, I wanted to bring up. Ken had a whole adventure with Wormmon. The Dark Towers are his construction, and his Digivice in particular is the reason they do what they do.
Yeah.
So he had access to regular-ass Digivolution.
Could have kicked their asses.
Still discounted Wormmon as being of any kind of use to him whatsoever once he went evil mode.
Stupid.
Maybe he was like, I'm doing a challenge run where you can't use your main you have to...
Dog.
You have to recruit like it's SMT.
He had his crest and tag.
He had his
crest... He could have Digivolved to Ultimate.
This man... He had everything, and darkness, inability to face his trauma, an inescapable hole in his chest that he was filling with an escapism, all led him to just being the worst.
Just being after the shittiest.
Having been a normal ass kid, maybe, you know, a lot smarter and faster than most, a high performing kind of kid. But still, like, a normal, caring person who did what they're doing. He did the Season 1 stuff. He lived with Wormmon for presumably days and days, if the digital world still works on the same, like, time rules as Season 1.
Yeah. Back at the Ichijoji residence, Ken's parents cry happily over the return of their son while Ken lies in his bed, the crest of kindness still in his hand. I cried like 4 or 5 times this episode.
It's the fact that his crest is kindness.
Yeah.
After all of this.
Yeah.
How do you... Iori feeling like he didn't deserve his now makes sense to me because it was set up for Ken. For Ken,
yeah,
like, coming to the realization, like actually... viewing everything he had done in the context of having done it to thinking, feeling creatures. And then looking at his, like, fucking digi-god-given power and its kindness.
Yeah.
That would destroy a person.
Yeah, heartbreaking.
And it... This show... Holy shit!
This show is really living up to, like... beyond our expectations for season 2. I remember talking about how it's going to be a nadir for the series, how we're just kind of going to get through it. This has been incredible.
How I'm like, well, I'm excited for season 3.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, the dub did this no favors, because I remember it being like fluff entirely.
Yeah. This is really deep. It's really got a lot to say, and for that reason, I'm going to give this episode a mega.
Mega, I'm going to give this one a Golden Armor Digivolution.
Damn, fusion birth mode.
Just, it's a unique one for this one because I cried.
Yeah.
And the show doesn't usually do that to me.
I'm a little weepier than you with this show, I think.
Good. I love you, and I love that you can let your emotions out like that.
Mm, I love you, too.
Hey, speaking of people that we like a lot...
Who's that?
Why did I start that? Why did I do this to myself?
Good. You're doing great.
No, I'm sorry. I'm gay. Look.
Why are you so gay?
I'm gay.
Why are you gay?
You're, hi, Chris Stan. You're cool. We should hang out more.
Wow.
I might cut it. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't
know. Wow.
What?
Wow.
It's a power move, nothing else. Jesus right in Christ. Front of you.
She doesn't listen to this fucking show.
Oh, okay, never mind. Well, in that case,
yeah. Not to my knowledge, anyway.
Hey, Chris Stan. You wanna play Bloodborne with us?
There you go.
You wanna play some video games with us and bark like a dog?
I'm thinking she's gonna get Rabbit and Steel to play with us.
Hey, you wanna know something fun about me and my Discord? Every time I enter a voice call, a clicker goes off.
I don't know that that's it. Anyway, just fucking show me the fucking pornography.
Pussy 2.
Oh, yeah! Alright, I'm showing you a little four-parter here by Funky Bun, an artist that I'm quite a big fan of. I'm sure I'm about to find out that they're, like, problematic as hell in our email or whatever. But for now, here, we'll get you started with this one. We'll go back and forth.
Okay.
Describe that first one.
So here we have three folks standing there. A twinky little mouse boy with his dick and balls out. But he's wearing, like, a teal tank top. Appears to be a cis femme, little goat girl, maybe, with little goat horns and cute ears, and a pink shirt, and her fucking pussy out. And then a trans femme, kind of taller, tomboyish character, wearing, like, a cami, with her dick and balls out, and the little Twinkie mouse is holding a sign that says car wash, and the trans femme character is spraying a hose.
Yeah.
Like, come on down.
Yep. So I think you're a little bit excited for this set.
This is good. This sounds great.
Yeah. I love this artist. So I was hoping to be up here.
It's rendered in a very adorable art style. Like, it's just so fucking cute.
It's so cute, and like, I mean, Here, take a look at this one with me. I'll describe it for us.
Wow,
But the trans femme character you were talking about, the squirrel, maybe?
Maybe a squirrel.
She's pouring that hose on herself. Her cami is fully transparent, and you can see them titties along her... One thing is Funky Bun draws very slender characters. It's all skinny bitches.
Mm-hmm.
Just all over her very lithe body. Her cock is hard as everything while she's leaning up against the car, hand on the middle of the hood. Her big old thick tail. Oh, she might be an otter. Look at that tail. Is curled up in a little playful way. She's wet as fuck. It's just the water is all over. there's very much a celebration of all sorts of queer bodies.
Yeah.
In this art, and I like that a lot.
As long as they're skinny.
yeah. All right.
And then we get
another mousy boy.
We get another character study here. The mouse boy is leaning against the back corner panel, the C pillar, of the right side of the vehicle.
Oh, now Lilith is erect while she's listening because you said a car thing right.
And he's got a sponge and he's cleaning the back window and he's wearing his cute little glasses and he's looking over, I'm assuming lovingly, at the trans femme character.
Mm-hmm.
While he sponges off the back window of the car with his dick and balls mashed into the window of the, like, the driver's side back passenger window.
Terrible hygiene if you're trying to clean a car.
There's going to be...
Insanely hot if you're sitting in there, though, while it's happening.
Yeah, just dick mashed into the car window. That's pretty hot.
Oh my god, I would love to be getting a car wash like this.
That's pretty good. That's pretty fucking good.
That's hot.
And a thing I noticed, the edges of the drawing are, like, shaded in the colors of the, like... the general the character colors of the characters, which I think is pretty cool.
Their palette. I hadn't caught that. You're right. There's very decent backgrounds too, Funky Bun.
Funky Bun.
Now we get our third and final character.
Yeah, damn! Character study.
Study. What's studying? the goat gal is facing directly, or like, presenting towards the viewer and looking back at them with her tongue out, a little mischievous look, a little blush on her face. Her legs are apart and her fluffy little tail is straight up so you can see. You can just barely make out her cute little butthole. And there's a vagina in view. not a lot of ass on any of these characters.
No, not very cakey.
Not very cakey, how dare. But here's really what gets me. Because her ears are so delightfully well rendered, and it gives me fucking body envy. I want big fluffy flopper ears for stim and for looking cute.
Aww.
Oh my god. Sorry to fucking derail it. She's washing the car just like the rest of them. And then we get one final little thing. POV shot from within the car.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's hot as hell. So peering through what appears to be the front, like the windshield of the car, all three of the characters are sort of like, they would be like kneeling on the hood, trying to get like at the roof of the car.
Yep. Or planking over it.
Yeah. With their tits and genitals pressed against the windshield.
They could be on the back window.
No, you can see the...
The rearview mirrors.
Rearview mirrors, okay. Yeah. But whoever's sitting in that car is getting a hell of a show. This is great.
A soapy, twinkie booby show.
That's so hot. I love that. That's amazing.
I'm glad you like it.
What a set. You're slowly turning me into a furry, baby.
That's the idea, is to show you that this is a space that you can find something like, for yourself in.
I don't find it, I'm not, like, turgid off of it. You know what I mean? Like, the...
You don't have to be. You don't have to be turgid at the Louvre, either. You can appreciate art.
All right, Turgid at the Louvre, episode title. Okay, cool. Good.
That's something that you'd say for, like, a sample. Turgid at the Louvre. Turgid.
Turgid at the Louvre. Turgid at the Louvre.
My girlfriend's at 37 dicks, 37.
My girlfriend's at 37, Dex 37.
Oh, now that has to be the ending theme for this episode. So good.
I'm pretty sure I have it downloaded. Play the funky music, white boy. So yeah, that was the porn segment, and it was very cute and good and delightful. Thank you for sharing with me.
You're welcome.
And now it's time for us to name our digital champion.
You.
You.
My delightful girlfriend who I love and I'm so happy to see.
Oh, come here. You're sweet.
You're sweet. I kicked the thing, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Yeah, I'm just so happy that you've been here with me this week and that we have another whole day together and we're going to really make the most of it.
Basically two.
Basically two, because we got the whole afternoon.
Oh, I'm gonna cry. Okay, we gotta move.
We're gonna move on. We're gonna do our plugs. How about Radio Free Tote Bag, a show about relationships? You can find anywhere you find your podcasts. It's a good randy, not really that randy, not this randy anyway, kind of time where we give heartfelt relationship advice and do goofy japes and jokes, and we have a fun time over there. At rftb.me and anywhere you find your podcasts. You can also check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/rftb. You get all kinds of goodies back there, bonus episodes, DJ streams, access to the Discord, things like that. So go check us out.
Absolutely. And you also want to check out Post Ponies, which is My Little Pony Friendship with Magic retrospective podcast. It also touches on the rise of American fascism. Just gets more and more relevant every fucking
every goddamn day.
Yeah, you know, ever since we turned into a fucking car dealership. But it's me, it's three other kick-ass trans femmes, and if you enjoyed any of this energy, there's going to be even more concentrated and fucking bizarre version there. So go take a look anywhere you're listening to podcasts, and it's smallgayhorse.com.
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 I love smallgayhorse.com.
Smallgayhorse.com is one of the greatest URLs ever
it
generated.
It rolls off the tongue so small. Perfect.
Gayhorse.com.
It's one half of a line of iambic pentameter. Smallgayhorse.com.
That's awesome.
Right?
That's awesome.
That's Shakespeare.
Stressed on
stress. Gigi, it's Shakespeare, what you did.
That rocks. Alright, folks. I think it's important for you to, you know, hug your loved ones tight and, you know, get out there and love somebody, and you should also get out there and buy the products.
Yeah. Oh no, we're doing a different one.